السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Well, the storm continues to rage over the comments made by Chief Justice Mokgweng Mokgweng, which were in favor of Israel. Most criticizing him and condemning him, a few coming out in support.
Correct. I just want to, obviously, there's been unprecedented levels of focus on this in the South African media. Perhaps in recent times we haven't seen a story that has got so much traction in local media. Even when there have been attacks on Palestinians and so forth, we haven't seen this level of coverage. So I just want to look at what exactly was said, what was the context in the broader discussion that occurred, and also just a summary of some of the main points that have been coming out in the reactions. This discussion took place last week. It was moderated online by the Jerusalem Post, featuring the Chief Justice as well as the Chief Rabbi of South Africa, and the Chief Editor, Editor-in-Chief of the Jerusalem Post, presided over the discussion, which was called Two Chiefs, One Mission, Confronting Apartheid of the Heart. And beyond that, five-minute clip that obviously has been sent out widely, this was about a one-hour discussion that started off talking about global racism around the world, Black Lives Matter, and sounding off on a bit of a sympathetic note on the Black Lives Matter movement. That's where it started, and referencing George Floyd, etc. But from the very beginning, from his initial comments, already the Chief Justice took a very religious note, starting with a lot of biblical quotations. This is even before his views on Israel came to the fore. And the discussion, as it one speaker complimented the other, was that the solution to racism is to be a good person, to expunge hatred from the heart, to give people hope, to use positive language, but in a way not really tackling structural racism and entrenched racist structures, and kind of categorizing people who speak out against racism sometimes as an exposition of hatred, which weighs down on one's personal self after a while. And it was the Chief Justice who actually volunteered his thoughts on Israel well before he was actually asked about it formally. Thereafter, he was asked about it formally, and that's obviously the clip that many people have heard, where he says that he respects the government and is obviously forced to toe the line on government policy, but at the same time, he's a citizen and he has his own views. And his own views then, as he went out to elucidate it, is firstly dictated by religion, that whoever opposes Israel earns the curses of God, and he quoted scripture to that effect. And then saying that if South Africa goes, exposes or espouses a one-sided stance as he sees it, South Africa is, excluding itself from being a negotiator in this conflict. Then he says that South Africa did not break ties with former colonial powers. Then why should South Africa break ties with Israel? And Israel wasn't a colonial power vis-a-vis South Africa. And there's an additional question that was posed very pointedly, and that hasn't been captured actually in the widely spread clip, where he was asked specifically on his views of BDS. And he says he cannot comment on that. That's a bit too difficult for him to comment on. But he immediately went on thereafter to use what many people would call whataboutism, which is, why should people, tackle Israel head on when we're not talking about poverty in South Africa, when we're not talking about landlessness in South Africa. Anyway, after that, as the discussion still continued, racism was broadened out to speak about anti-Semitism and anti-Semitism as a form of racism. And the chief rabbi said that members of the Black Lives Movement in some cases were guilty of anti-Semitism while they were tackling racism. And the conclusion of the discussion was that, you know, two people from the Rainbow Nation speaking, and that is a kind of ideal solution for racism. You know, embellishing basically this idea of a rainbow nation and the idealism of a rainbow nation. So in the wake of that, we've got comments from so many people, CESCO, the ANC, EFF, SAFTU, Mandla Mandela, the former Deputy Justice Minister here in South Africa, also the Constitutional Court Justice, Zak Yaqub, Africa for Palestine, and obviously a very important commentary by the Howard Law Professor Ziad Motala. Just in a nutshell, what are some of those issues that were brought up throughout these statements, different elements from different people? One of them was inconsistency with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, that the Chief Justice is supposed to be the custodian of the values enshrined in these two. When the government is supporting Palestine, it is making a human rights argument. And here you have a person who's supposed to be the guardian of human rights opposing that. Also, is the Chief Justice not aware of international law? Then you have the judicial ethics argument. Is he supposed to be making such commentary? And a very important issue that has been brought up by Africa for Palestine and others is that the issue of Bongani Masuku and Kosatu versus the South African Jewish Board of Deputies relating to anti-Semitism is going to come before the Constitutional Court. And does this force the constitutional the judge to recuse himself? There's then the religious argument, and you have Christian parties that are supportive of Palestine who've come to the fore to discuss this, saying that, you know, it's a misreading of the Bible, and what about the views of or the suffering endured by Christian Palestinians that the Chief Justice overlooks? There's a question of whether he's actually siding with a foreign power, and what impact does that have? The question of misreading of Mandela, because, you know, talking about the end point in Mandela's life, but not talking about the struggle and what occurred before that, and the point being made that, you know, articulating of values of non-racialism you know, expunging hatred from the heart is obviously in its place, but one first has to acknowledge what is right and what is wrong, and that's clearly something that he did not do in the interview. Then from a political point of view, highlighting the Israeli assistance that was rendered to South Africa during the days of apartheid, the role that boycotts played in creating a constitutional democracy and in actual fact paving the way for the role of a Chief Justice in South Africa. And there are some who have questioned whether the judge is compromised, whether he has been captured, given that he was part of Black Consciousness Movement structures as a disciplined cadre back in the day. And then many people, or this is not the most common view, but there's one view to say that all of this could be reactionary. It's justified to question the judge's view, but also to ask where is this coming from, and let's fight this in the court of ideas. This is a battle of ideas, and let's also question how Israel has managed to make serious inroads into churches in South Africa. So that's just basically a summary of all the viewpoints that have been put forward. As you mentioned, we've got limited support or limited statements from the other side, but one common one there was from the South African Friends of Israel, who's saying this is an attack on freedom of religion and expression. And from the Office of the Chief Justice itself, they've offered no comment just yet.
And what's the latest on the annexation?
We are just days away from what the Israeli coalition government said is, you know, the date that gives them the green light to proceed with the annexation. But there are some holdups in perhaps the way they had envisaged it would happen. And the United States happens to be a stumbling block in this. Apparently, the United States is not giving a green light for full-scale annexation the way Netanyahu initially had hoped for. And the reason given for this is Trump appears to be tangled in political woes from the coronavirus, his handling of the coronavirus, as well as the handling of the race protests in the United States of America. And therefore, they might proceed with a symbolic annexation, no less devastating, but of a few major settlement blocks rather than the Jordan Valley or many more settlement blocks in the West Bank. International reaction to the annexation plans continues to escalate. Jordan just yesterday said that it's going to promise a harsh response, regardless of the degree of the annexation. Hamas said that any annexation would be a major escalation and would be responded to, if need be, militarily. We've had protests in France on Friday. We've had interesting resolution passed by the Belgian Parliament urging the government to move swiftly to prevent the annexation and saying that the government should spearhead actions, perhaps even sanctions against Israel at the UN and the European Union if it goes ahead. And from all the parliamentarians in Belgium, no one actually voted against this resolution. In the European wider Europe, 1,000 European lawmakers have signed a letter opposing annexation, and they said that decisive action must be taken and this annexation would set a dangerous precedent. And lastly, there are some saying that you know, let's not be fully captured by the stage management of the publicity around annexation coming from Israel, and not be caught up in the dynamic to say that, you know, one must oppose the annexation, but at the same time, many people have been fully supportive of Israel war, are opposing annexation now, whereas those actions are no less dangerous, whatever Israel has taken, even though it has not formally annexed the West Bank.
All right. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Avi Sapp. We'll talk again next week, inshallah. That was this week's Palestine Report with Radio Islam International's Hafiz Ibrahim Musa.